And here we go. All right, welcome to the Extra Inning Softball Podcast. My name is Carlos Arias, and with me is my co-host, Brent Eads. How you doing, Brent?
Doing great. Looking forward to talking to Dina. Got some good stuff today.
All right, and today we have one of the all-time great players from Southern California who went on to Washington to become an All-American, and now she's a spectacular coach in the Corona Angels organization. And that's Dina Tyson Fly. How you doing, Dina?
Good. How are you? Thank you guys for having me. That was a stretch. All-time great, but I'm going to take that. Thank you.
Hey, you got to take it. Come on. I'm going through your bio and remembering when your playing days, and gosh, you did it all. So, hey, Dina, the big thing we wanted to talk to you about, you know, you came out with your ebook, Focus Up, and it goes through your career, your life, you know, your thoughts on the game, and just so many great topics that you hit on. And you know, first of all, tell me what went into making this book. When did you decide you were going to do this, and what were the main reasons behind it?
So it's funny because I never was going to write a book. So I honestly have to thank my assistant coach Peter that coaches with me on my 16 team, and every year since I've been coaching, I've had this story. Like, the story's always kind of been there. And I tell them, like, I will give you the blueprint. Not saying you're going to be an All-American, but here's a blueprint of what it took me to become an All-American. So I tell them in the difference of my first 3 years to my last year, like, what All-Americans seem to do. And I will tell a story, and every year he looks at me and he goes, man, other people should be hearing the story. And I was just like, who would want, you know, I'm like, this is just for my girls. I kind of left it like that. And honestly, I'd got into this self-reflection of myself, and I was in between jobs, and I was just like, man, what do I want to do? And I took this course with Eric Thompson, and he was saying how you need to find your passion. So I was on this 30-day course with him, and I was like, you know what? I am going to tell my story. I said, he's right. Like, he was like, how do you know people don't want to hear it? He was like, there's a lot of Dinas out there, I'm sure. So I was actually, I think it started when I was in Colorado. I was at a tournament. We were in the regular Colorado tournament, and we were playing the Bandits, and a girl got hurt. And I was just explaining to her about my year. Like, I was like, hey, because you could kind of tell, like, she had torn her ACL. Like, it was kind of like, yeah, it's gone. And yeah. I was giving her my story. And later on, her mom had told me, was like, thank you so much, because it did mean a lot to her. And then I had another incident in Colorado with a girl crying after her team had just won. And that was actually my first blog. So the blog is kind of what it started, that it started the blog. But I'm like, gosh, there are so many girls that are willing to hear and do want to hear. And I was like, let's not get caught up in this is just for the Corona Angels, is that I want softball to be better. I was just like, it doesn't always have to be, oh, that's Corona Angels. Oh, that's Bat Busters. Oh, that's fine. Like, no, that's not what we all got into softball for, because most of our really good players, they end up playing in college together. So I was like, at the end of the day, the message is going to be the message. So I was like, it's not what organization you play for, is that we want to make our sport bigger and better. So why not help everyone in softball? So that's kind of how it all started.
And I know that Brent can talk to this too. We love your blogs. I mean, we always, you know, you always learn something, you know, whenever you, you know, put your words down and talk about a situation. Brent, I think you can talk to that point too, right?
Yeah. You know, we talked about the ebook, we want to call it that. I read it, and it's a very quick read. It's a fun read. You know, the great thing about Dina's story is she has her moments of doubt. And, you know, her dad obviously is Marty Tyson, the legendary club coach. And there's a lot of influential give and take there. But I really found it interesting, your background, Dina, where you were a pitcher first, and you ultimately ended up with the OC Bat Busters, which I think would surprise some people, knowing that the Angels and the Bat Busters are two of the top programs in club history.
Yeah, absolutely. I played for Gary Haney my senior year, so I know. And so I'm like, hey, I have the little Bat Buster in my blood. So I'm like, I was a pitcher, and it was ultimately the, I remember my dad telling me, like, hey, teams want you. And I know Bat Busters were on that list as well, but they were like, they don't want you to pitch. You got, so I was a, that was one of the decisions that I had to make definitely growing up. And I tell people all the time, I think that's why I created the blog, because history does repeat itself. There's a lot of people going through the same situations. And it's funny because now I've noticed, like, at games, like, more people smile at me. I get a little wave. I didn't always get that before the blog, because I was like, yeah, we've all gone through these situations. And I think when you don't put it out there on paper, that people think that they've been there, it's like they're there by themselves. And I'm like, yeah, I had to give up a decision, whether I was going to pitch or whether I hit. People deal with that all the time. But if people don't really talk about it, like, how did you make that decision? What are those things? Like, I think that was my biggest thing. I didn't have a blueprint growing up, trying to give blueprints, trying to help kids out, because these decisions are getting harder and harder. Thank goodness the rule changed. But, like, you know, like you were verbaling earlier, like, there's so many decisions that have to be made for people that don't have anything to research on, or that don't have any experience. So I was like, maybe this will help people during their process, because we didn't have this process. Like, I didn't have this information. I would have loved some of this information, right? So that was ultimately, like, what the ebook is going to go through, is that, man, there's going to be all these stages in life. So I put my travel ball career, I put my high school career. I want it, like, you're going to go through these stages, but there's going to be moments that you can learn from each stage. And I think that's, hopefully that's what I convey in the book, is that not everything was positive in the book, but ultimately every one of the things I went through was a lesson that made me into the coach or the woman that I am today.
And Dina, you also talk about, you know, your dream school and how you ended up at Washington. Can you tell the people about that a little bit too?
So I always go, like, gosh, I need to start saying dream school, because it was my dream school. I was like, Washington was the right school, right? But yes, my dream school was UCLA. I mean, I think in Southern California, like, all of us girls going here, that's like the first school that you hear about. I mean, except for right now, and I would say respect to our sport getting bigger, is that now, like, we have a girl on our 10 and under team. She's on first year 12s now, but she wants to go to Florida. And I was like, that's awesome that the sport has built that big, because back in the day when we were in school, like, UCLA was the school. Like, that's where you wanted to go. And that process was honestly, like, my first real heartbreak. Like, I thought I was going to UCLA, no doubt. Like, I'm like, there's no way I'm not. And I will tell people, I was like, that's why I was like, this story is technically meant to be, because I do end up finding out, what was I, like, 24 when I had my first son? I find out it was like a shoot for stars tournament in Texas when I first started coaching on my Seattle team, when I find out why I don't end up going to UCLA. And it ends up really being like, man, it was on me. Like, the kind of player I was, is that, so many times, though, I see players, because of the way the showcases are set up and things like that, is that how many times you go through the motions and you think that, hey, no one's watching, or I'm just running off. Like, you think people aren't watching. And I was like, I think that that's why, like, I look at small things, because I know something that small, because it wasn't my what I did on the field, because I thought, hey, when I saw UCLA there, I played pretty well, in my opinion. And so, like, now knowing how small little things are, and that could cost you your dream school. So it does seem like I'm a little crazy sometimes on the field, when I'm like, hey, you don't run off the field. You don't run on off the field. You're just going to come sit here on the bench. But because I know what this could ultimately lead you to, because you don't want to be 24 crying in the car to your husband, like, the reason I didn't go to my dream school is because I chose to be lazy.
Yeah, that's you never know who's watching, right? I mean, it could be the smallest person in the organization or the school, and you just never know, right?
You don't.
Brent, get in there. I know you have tons of questions.
Yeah, I love this ebook. It's called Focus Up, and we have an article we did on our site, which you can go on Extra Innings Softball and find out how to get it. Dina, I'm a parent. I'm a father. And as a parent, and you know this, you're a parent too, you don't know always what buttons to push with your kids. One of my favorite parts of Focus Up is when you're heading into, I believe it's your senior year, and your dad asks you, you know where I'm going with this, how you felt about your career, and you're thinking, yeah, three-year starter, honorable mention, all pack, 10, been the World Series twice. And he says, and again, I think he's a master of motivation, well, to me, you have underperformed. That had the sting, but he pushed the right buttons. And talk about that, how, you know, your dad, probably your biggest hero, or one of them, says something like that, and how did that motivate you instead of maybe making you feel like I can never be what I want to be?
I will tell you, I remember sitting at that McDonald's restaurant. We were sitting inside, and I'm like, underperform? Like, my dad thinks that? Like, I'm like, man, like, there's like a joke that I'm like the favorite. So I'm like, how could he say this to his favorite? Like, underperform? And I honestly was super hurt. Like, and I was like, on paper, though, how does he see that? And then I always tell people is that Marty was good at knowing how to push each of our, there's four of us, right? So he was good at knowing that he could say that to me and not break me. And I think that's right. The biggest thing is, like, as a parent, and I had to learn that too, right? I have three sons, three different personalities. And I know, like, I can say something like that to my oldest one and probably my youngest one. If I say that to little Marty, which is funny, right? If I said that to little Marty, oh my, he would be crushed, destroyed, shut down. Like, that would, like, he would just tank it in. And so that's what I was like, is that Marty was brilliant at that. And that's what I try to convey in the book, is that I'm not saying that's the route to go, but you do want to find the way to motivate your children. And my dad was good at that. And that was something that you have to learn as a coach as well, right? So with some players, I can go to them like, wow, you let this girl out hit you. You're going to this school and she's going to that school. Like, I can say that to some girls. Now, I know I can't say that to some other girls, right? They'll be like, oh my God, Dina thinks I suck. Oh God, Dina hates me. Right? And it's like, so you just, it's one of those things that you learn, which is huge in life, of how to talk to people. Like, that's what I try. I guess my biggest thing is that, yes, I love softball, but I want people to be better humans. So in life, I have learned now how I need to approach certain people. And that's kind of what that lesson was when Marty was like, I'm like, cause in my head, you're right. I kind of said, like, he would never say this to anybody else. Like, I'm like, he would not say this to someone else. Like, I'm the one getting it. I'm underperformed. I'm here on a call. Like, yeah, I was kind of upset. Now you're taking me back. I'm getting a little bit more mad.
Well, but he followed up.
Get that heat going right now.
Tactic. What I love, though, is he just didn't push your buttons to push your buttons. He sat down and he got out a napkin, according to what the Focus Up says, and people get it, seriously get it. And he said, let's create some goals. And if I can tell your story and you can finish it, you throw out, be a starter, World Series, and he's like, in effect saying, and I'm paraphrasing, no, you're shooting too low. And he writes down being All-American. And you're like, what? To finish it from there, I love how he got you motivated and stimulated to be great, to be greater.
Yeah, because I always say, I was like, I think he knew where he was going with that the whole time, right? He's good at that. Still at 35, I'm at 35 years old, and he can still do that to me. Like, he'll set me up, and I realize at the end of it that he got what he wanted out of me. And I'm like, Dina, you fell for it again. But he gets me going with all this, and then he's like, all right, forget it, Dina. You don't think you underperform. Let's move on. Let's make goals for next year. And so I'm sitting here making these goals, and I'm just laughing because it's always those moments where I'm like, I never want to prove him right, because when Marty's right, he's going to let you know he's right. So he's sitting here, and we're making these goals, and I said, yeah, I want to be a starter. Mind you, like I say, when you read in the book, is that I've been starting since my freshman year. I've never not started. I said, I want to go to the College World Series. So I'm doing these goals, and he shuts me down and goes, all right, I think we can accomplish all your goals that you're saying. Right? And he did a little snicker when I said I wanted to be a starter. He, like, laughed a little bit. And so he's like, all right, shut it down. I think we do this one goal, you'll accomplish all the things that you want to get done. And he goes, All-American. And at this point, he had told me before, though, that I had this fear of failure. And I remember telling him, like, you know, like, cocky 20-year-old, I'm like, fear of failure? I'm like, man, I was like, I've been all CIF 3 years. I was like, I was all county. I was an MVP of my, I'm like, bro, what are you talking about failing? I don't fail. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, you know, hindsight 2020, I'm going to end up making the all CIF all decade team for California. So I'm like, I don't fail. And so when he puts all American, I like, literally, I look at him like, oh, I see what you just did here. Because I shut down. I'm like, you want me to put a goal that you know I don't know for sure I can accomplish? Right? So it was that fear of failure. So I tell people, like, I don't have a fear of failure. And I'm like, no, you may not have a fear of failure, but what you have is that you do not want to fail. So you make sure that you only create goals that you can achieve. So see, that was my issue. I only did goals that I could achieve.
Right. Yeah, you played it safe.
Always, right? And I was like, and there's so many players like that. And I'm like, imagine if you don't get pushed like this, right? I would have never been an All-American. If Marty would have never said, hey, we're going to be an All-American your senior year, I would have never, that would have never even been an option for me, because I know how hard, and I got what it took to be an All-American. And I was like, I don't know if I have that in me. So it wouldn't even been an option. So that's why my sister has this great thing where my sister at Howard, the head coach there, Victoria, always says, like, as coaches, as parents, we have to say the goals out loud that our girls are afraid to say. Like, we're going to say, like, make them say what's in their head, because those are the goals they want. They're just scared to say it out loud.
Carlos, are you there?
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you had a follow-up on there. But
no.
The question I have too is, you know, Dina, can you talk about, you know, you learn from all kinds of people in your life. You know, and we've read that. And can you talk about, like, a teammate that really made an impression that, you know, taught you something?
Honestly, there's so many. Like, you put the pressure on me. Like, one, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to be more than one. So I'm going to go with break it down. Like, travel ball, like, Caitlin Lowe was, she went to, it's funny because I don't use names, but if you, like, I loved it when I made this book. The people my age, they totally were like, oh, I know what you're talking about. So Caitlin Lowe, I played with her on the Panthers Gold team that I talk about in the ebook, and like, you have, like, to see someone play the game right. Like, I watched it for 3 years. Someone just played the game right. If people don't know Caitlin Lois, she's this, I think she's the co-head coach now at Arizona. And she's a four-time All-American there. And, I mean, I've never seen her take a playoff, never taken a bat off. Like, I know it may sound crazy to you. Like, I rarely even seen her make an out. But that's just how, like, I'm sure she made outs. But that was just the hard focus she had. And I'm like, how does she do this day in and day out? Because there's a part in the book where I tell them, where I talk about, like, me and her used to sprint on and off the field and, like, race each other. But, like, mine was conditional. Like, if there was a coach in the stands, I would do it. But if no one was there, I wasn't doing that. And Caitlin, she, man, like, no joke, just go. Like, there was no stopping her. And then I just laughed because I guess I love talking about my Panthers Gold team. The Panthers Gold team in general, like, that team was special. Like, it was one of those where our coach was amazing at recruiting, but, like, far as the game went, like, it was our game. We played our game. We controlled it. We talked to each other. We didn't need him to get us going. So I think that team really helped me with the accountability of softball, like, how softball should be. Like, you see a lot of robots, like, you need to be told to throw the ball here or there. On that team, I truly learned to play softball. Like, I would see the girl was off the bag, and I would throw, or I would see the girl jogging down the line or maybe doing a soft turn at first when I was in center field, and I would gun it to first base and get her out because I saw that she just thought she had a base hit. Like, just little things like that of playing with those girls is that we learn softball. Like, you know what I mean? There's a play that sticks out to me, and I always want to say this play, because I think that a lot of coaches should hear this. So there's a play that sticks out to me when I was a coach, and I realized that I think Panthers Gold, because they allowed me to develop my softball IQ on my own, is that we were playing, I want to say it was a Bat Busters, I think, at that time, Doug Myers was coaching, and we were winning, and I remember, you know, tying this game. It's bases loaded, one out, and this girl hits a hard shot to our right fielder. Not enough for the girl at third to score on, but I saw out the peripheral of my eye the girl at second base get, like, she's so far off. All I right fielder do was have to do is throw the ball to second. And I'm screaming too, but even my assistant coaches were all, like, screaming four, so she guns the ball into four. The girl's not running. And I'm like, why did you do that? And so everyone doesn't get why I'm so upset. So the next player comes up and hits a triple and clears the bases and they tie the game up. And so we end up leaving the game and I'm like, why did you not throw the ball to two? And she was like, well, there was only one out. And I was saying, I was like, honey, when you caught the ball, that made it two outs. She said, so you throw the ball to second, we're out the inning. But like, that's what I was saying about Panthers Gold did for me is that they literally created my softball IQ because see, I can count outs in my head. But if you're a robot, you're like, all right, if I get the ball, I'm throwing the ball to home. Right, there's one out. Then no, you're not looking, you're not. So I do thank the Panthers Gold for allowing my softball IQ to develop. As far as college, I want to honestly thank Danielle Laurie, although she's younger than me. Danielle Laurie, because the first 2 years, I always say, I was like, you know, I was kind of in cruise control. Shoot, almost even the third year. But Danielle Laurie, like her, look at her now. She has two kids and she's competitive and she's going to the Olympics with the Canadian team. Like, Danny was somebody who, honestly, she's one of those teammates that would call you out if she felt that you had more in you. And I always thought, I was kind of like scared of those kind of moves. So I have to respect her for that because she created me a little bit in the fact that I'm not meaner than Danielle. So if I say something, it's okay because it's not going to be as mean as Danielle coming out. But I got why Danielle was the way she was, right? She was a two-time NCAA, or I think the NCAA player of the year. She was special. Like, I don't even know how to describe her. I used to call her Golden Arm. But she wanted to win, and she had a fierce competitive side. And I don't know, it got me going. Like, she doesn't – I don't know if she even realizes how important she was in my process. But, like, you didn't want to let Danielle down because you knew how much work she put in and how much she wanted this for all of us. And you would see her out there and she's pitching every game and she's like, hey, just get me a run. Like, all right, shoot, let's get her a run. So she was an amazing teammate. And I do thank her for, she kind of pushed me my senior year to be more. And I thank her for that. Sorry, got long winded there.
No, I was going to say, sounds like a ferocious woman.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And once again, you know, the book is Focus Up. You can go to, I believe it's iotfastpitch.com to pick it up. It's only $9.99. Throw that in a stocking. Somebody's going to be totally happy. And
On a side note, I just actually, and they're coming in today, got hard copies. So there's going to be an option to get a paperback copy starting tomorrow. On Wednesday. So that will be on the website too. So that same address or the website you just gave, but now there will be a paperback option because Sue Inquist, and if you read the story, you'll realize how like huge this was. Sue Inquist had posted on my Instagram when I put it out, like, this is a must that all coaches get. Like, she gave this amazing speech, and I'm like, first of all, I'm goated. Sue Inquist just wrote on my Instagram page. And she was like, and I was like, you know what? She challenged everyone to buy this book. And I said, but it's only an ebook right now. So I put some stuff together and was able to get about 800 copies or so of paperback. So that will, until I run out, I do have an option of that they'll be able to, starting tomorrow, be able to get to them.
That's fantastic because I know a lot of the old school people, they only read books that they can put in their hands. So
yes.
You know, all the kids, they don't care. They're like, I'm gonna read this on my phone.
But yeah, and it was some of my parents were like, hey, can we get a hard copy? She's like, I like to flip a page. I was like, okay.
Yep. But Brent, I know you have a couple more questions. Let's get those in here.
Well, first of all, Dean, are you thinking a sequel already? I mean, the popularity of this one's probably gotten you thinking, what's the follow-up? Do you have some thoughts?
I do. So I mean, you know, like you're always nervous. Like even at 35, right, you don't like to fail. So I didn't know what kind of reception I was going to get. So I'm like, oh, gosh. I was like, I remember telling my friend, I'm like, man, let's just put it out there right now at midnight. I was like, there's no turning back. And so had amazing feedback. Thanks to everybody so far that supported me. And I was thinking, so as I'm reading it and, you know, people like are asking questions like, oh, I was like, you know what? I could talk more about, right? Because that's more like a skeleton. Like, I gave a skeleton of my career, is that there's so much more that happened in travel ball, like the process of choosing to give up pitching, and the process of your team folding, the process of honestly just figuring it out. I always tell people, I didn't figure it out till my sophomore year. What was it, right? So there's so much more that we can dig into. And then I was like, there's so much more of my college career, like, that I, you know, like, there's a lot more in there. Those 3 years of underperforming, those were tough. Now I can say underperforming without getting upset as well. But those 3 years of underperforming, there's a lot of information. So I have been thinking about that, letting it get out there, because I do have to agree with Sue Inquist, is that she was saying, is it's time that we put more into the mental side of our game. Because I think that we, yes, physically we're doing it, we're going. And I always tell people, I said, I was always pretty athletic, pretty gifted. I remember a past coach, when I became an All-American, he told Marty, he's like, well, you know, it was never physical with Dina. So I'm like, oh, man, that's like, right? Like, a little, I was like, oh, I get it. I guess I was a mental midget for a little bit. So I'm like, hey, is it? But there was not a lot of mental things out there and developing the mental side. So I think this is a huge push right now, is that understanding how mental this game is and getting the kids where they need to be. Like LeBron, I'm a huge LeBron fan. I don't care. Everybody get mad. But I'm a huge LeBron fan. And he said it, though. He's like, he had to focus on his mental game. Like, I'm like, look, this is LeBron, one of the best players to ever play basketball. And one of his issues was his mental side. And I'm like, there's obviously more. Like, the more information they can get, the better. I got an amazing text message from a friend and was like, hey, I had my daughter read your book this weekend, and she came out, something clicked. Like, that's what I want to hear. Like, I want it to click. Whether you're an angel or not, I want softball to click for you. I want you to enjoy it, because I realized how enjoyable softball can be, right? When I was at bottom third and I was kind of a barfer, is that I don't know if I ever enjoyed softball like I did my senior year, because I was engaged. I got it mentally. And I think that the more information I give out, the more the girls can be engaged. So I'm definitely thinking about doing some more writing.
There's also a book on Marty quotes that we can do too.
Yeah. Marty stories alone would be a great sequel. That would be fun. I got some Marty stories, but we'll share those for another time. Dina, what do you think of today's athlete versus when you played club in college? It's a whole different generation, it seems like. And, you know, it seems like there's a lot of more stress and a really serious note. You know, we've seen some suicides and just the mental edge, I think, is really needed. But do you think also that there's a lot of stress, and it's difficult for today's athlete with all they have, including, you know, the cyberbullying and all the pressure that comes in the social side?
We could go on all day about this, but this, I just feel bad for this generation. Why? Is that you have this social media, right? You have all these things that go on with softball now. Like, we didn't have rankings, like, right, in college. I mean, when we were growing up. So, like, that's huge. Like, girls want to be ranked. They want to, like, and really, thank goodness it's dialed back now. But the early commitments, like, that is tough. I tell people all the time, if I was in this day and age, I wouldn't have been at Washington. I wouldn't have been considered a high recruit, because I didn't figure it out until the high school season of my sophomore year. And so I'm like, you guys are asking kids they were trying to get down in eighth and ninth grade. And I'm like, geez, like, that's a lot of pressure. And you telling a sophomore in high school, like, well, all the big schools are done. So, like, man, like, that is tough. And I'm not saying that parents make it. No, I'm just saying I get parents. I get it, right? Because you see, I get the parent side of it, because you see what opportunity is there. You can get an education paid for. You can maybe play in the pros. Like, they see this better life that they want you to have, but I don't think that they realize what that push does. Like, that's an intense push. And so I'm like, we had a situation, I remember one that sticks out to my brain, and I'm like, gosh, what took it there? Like, what happened? And I'm like, let's be real. When we played, you were going to find a home. I don't know. It was just kind of like, maybe it just, it was like, you just kind of knew you were finding home. You don't know where you're going to go, but there was going to be a home. But I think softball's gotten so big. Everyone's playing softball. And now everyone, like, it's almost watered down a little bit. I'm like sitting here, like, all of you know, we all can't play Division One softball. That's why in my blog, I put something out. Like, there's more than Division One softball. But when you press and press at such a young age, I'm like, and I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it, right? Is that, but you have the 10-year-olds, like, you should just be playing softball. It shouldn't be such a hard focus on college right now at 10 and under. But I get that's where the game is at. I mean, there's no changing it, right? We've opened Pandora's box. But I do think as a whole, we could do a better job of trying to make it funner. Don't know how, like, I'm just throwing that out there of trying to take the stress away. I do think, yeah, closing the recruiting window is cool. So maybe we can just play softball. It doesn't have to be so much like, now we're playing softball, here's the college scouts, we're trying to get a scholarship, let's go. Is that, it's good we kind of close that window out. Let's play more games just to play softball, not to try to just get recruited. Because I do think that that's stressful. I see it in my girls' eyes. Like, I'll see girls that'll be on fire. They'll be fine. And as soon as they see, like, the coach that they like or the school that they know is watching them, I just see them get tight. I'm like, oh, man, it's going to happen. And they have – and you just see them shut down. And, I mean, it's a tough situation. I think we got to try to find a way to not make such – to not – make it such the point that we want to go to college to play softball. And if you don't do that, you have failed. Be successful and we'll figure it out. There are homes out there. And I think as college, as coaches, we have to open up. Don't just say, if you don't go D1, you failed. Cause I, you know what I mean? I think that that's another, like, there are so many other options out there. So when we put this high pedestal up, of course these girls are struggling and we've seen like more suicides. Is that it's, I want more fun. Like, you know, so like when you see me and my girls in the dugout and we're dancing and we're, I do, I'm trying to liven it up. Cause I always tell my girls, I tell you, cause I'll tell them, I said, you kind of forget about it when you're having fun. You forget about the pressure situations. Hey, that's why I used to be the cheer coordinator at Washington. Like, I couldn't be mad that I just got out cause I had to lead a cheer and they were looking at me to lead a cheer. So I try to get my dugout like that. Hey, where's the cheer at? Let's go. Yeah, I push cheers because it kind of eliminates that factor of you thinking about everything and the stress. It's like a stress alleviator. So I do think if that's my advice is that let's try to have more fun. It's okay to have fun in the dugout. Let's not be so businesslike. We can be businesslike later. Like, let's enjoy.
Yeah, you know, you bring up such a good point because I remember those teams and, like, you know, it always looked like a party on the field. You know, it was like the Firecrackers. They had their own cheers. Corona Angels, Bat Busters, you guys all had your own. Every player walking up to the plate had a cheer. It was insane. I wonder if you get that back some point.
That's what I would love to see because, I mean, it's tough. This is hard. Like, by all means, this is probably one of the hardest games you can play. So we don't need to add more stress on it. And I think that that's the hardest part is that we have this stress and we're pushing and you have to do this and you have to do that. Like, let's go back to having a little bit of fun. It's okay. I mean, I guess that's like, it's not like they're not doing it in college. We're watching them. Like, I mean, using my alma mater, but even look at Oklahoma State, like they're having fun in college as well. So how we have lost the fun factor and they're above us, that's our ultimate goal. And somehow we've lost the fun factor. That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, we got
to
get that back.
Well, I think you said it. A lot of it is parents are trying to line their kids up, you know, to get scholarships, to play at a Power 5. One thing I've always loved, though, about the softball world is girls will oftentimes go to a college that fits what they want, be it social or major or career. They're not, you know, guys tend to, you know, the big sports are looking for the pro contract, or they're looking for TV coverage, or they're, you know, they're lining up things that are more on the peripheral as rewards. But at least girls, I think, more than boys, and this is a gross stereotype, but they tend to be looking more because there isn't that pro contract. There isn't, unfortunately, after 2020, the Olympics. So I think girls do a better job, but you're right. You know, I'm teenagers and I see that there's a lot of pressure on these kids, right? To not just succeed and be super achievers on the softball field, but in the classroom and handling all this.
Absolutely. And I mean, at the end of the day, I was like, let's prepare them for college, one, right? Prepare them for college. But we also don't want them to lose the side of them being an adolescent. Like, let's not have these grown up kids, because I mean, life is going to get hard. So let's try to at least have, you know, that. I tell people, my girls are maybe listening to this, so I'm like, you do not believe in balance. Now, I will tell you, I believe in balance if you're doing the right things, right? So I'm like, don't tell me, though, that you want to go to a Power 5 school, but you're missing everything because you got this and you got this and you got that. Well, then you don't want that. But I do believe is, hey, you can fit things in. I tell my teen to do this. I said, I want you to wake up and start, and after every hour, put an hour on there and tell me what you're doing. I said, I bet you can find time to hit. I bet, because I know you guys find time to get on social media. So I'm like, is that, sit down, make a schedule. Tell me right there. Yeah, as I used to, you wake up at 7 o'clock. All right, you tell me when you can get hitting in. You tell me when you can get everything in and still enjoy it. And I think that that's what my biggest thing was, is that you talk about adding more. I do want to write that during my senior year, although that was the hardest I've ever worked, I still enjoyed my senior year of college. I just had better time management.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting point. Good point.
I think I need to do that right now. I need to manage my time better.
At 35 years old, I did that myself because that's what Eric, during ET's course, he was telling us, like, don't tell me you don't have time. So he made me do my day. And I was like, there's time to work out, right? Is that I'm down 85 pounds because I'm like, yes, there's time to work out. I just have to suck it up and do it at that time. Is that there was time. I was like, I don't have time to write a blog. No, there's time. I just have to write down when that time is and I'm going to get it done at that time. No distractions.
Absolutely. And once again, we're talking to Dina Tyson Sly. Her new book is Focus Up. It's an ebook right now, but she's also going to have hard copies. You can go to iotfastpitch.com to pick it up. It's only $9.99. It's a great deal. And Dina, we so enjoyed having you on here. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
All right.
Best of luck with your book.
Thank you. And then we'll do some add-ons.
Definite. Thanks again, Dina.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.